This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Good Tuesday afternoon. Welcome into Grant and Danny on the Fan. It's December 10th, 2024. Danny is back in the saddle. We are at full strength, and we got a great show planned for you today. At 3 o'clock, we'll talk to Barry Sferluga of the Washington Post on all things DC sports. Nats offseason, Caps best team in hockey, Commanders looking for a playoff push out of the bye. And speaking to the Commanders, Austin Eckler is on the show at 5 o'clock for his weekly appointment, sponsored by our friends at IT Cadre. Danny, how are you? Welcome back.
I am very well, thank you. I apologize. Sucks I had to miss yesterday. Got to do something really cool, though. And I'm doing a thing that I know is annoying to everybody, and I'm sorry about that, but there's, like, rules. I cannot talk about it. It was an amazing experience. I was in Atlanta. I posted a little bit at Humorous Daniel on the old Instagrams. Tweeted a little bit just in general. A couple, actually, I'll tell you this, a couple sleuths, a couple sleuths had a pretty good guess as to what I was doing. I will not confirm or deny anything. I'm just saying a couple folks were on the right track. I'll be able to talk about it in February, probably is the time. But amazing experience and fitting. I thought we were past this, by the way. I thought this was all over with. The Danny misses the show, and then there's something awesome to talk about. Now we're back to square zero, whatever. With old Juan Soto signing for three-quarters of a billy.
We're never past that.
We're never past it, I guess,
just
right?
Just to be clear. I think there's been maybe one time ever where you weren't in and nothing happened. Most of the time, something very sizable happened.
So we were hoping that, because breaking news happened when I was in, so maybe that's the start of a new trend. The answer is no. It can't. So the Venn diagram goes like this. Breaking news can happen when I'm here.
It's allowed to happen if you're in.
Yes.
But it must happen when you're out.
That's it. That's the distinction. If I'm not there, tune into the show.
And Soto going to the Mets, while not really DC sports related, kind of is. And also, you can't tell me it's not huge. It's the biggest contract that a professional athlete has ever signed in history. Kind of a big deal. But, yeah, thanks for keeping the train on the tracks.
You got it.
But I look forward to being able to talk about what you actually did, because it is very, very cool, and congrats to you.
Thank you, buddy.
Lots to get into. Real quick on Monday Night Football last night. That was a good football game.
Yes.
The Bengals end up beating the Cowboys 27-0. I guess the biggest story out of this game for me is we will yet again, 20 years and counting now, have a different NFC East champion this year than last year. One of the craziest, weirdest locks in all of sports is that if you won the NFC East last year, you do not win it again in succession the following season. Last year it was the Cowboys. This year it'll probably be the Eagles, might be the Commanders, but it'll be one of those two teams, and it will not be Dallas, now 5-8.
There's a couple divisions like that, right, where it's always topsy-turvy, but I'm sure like the NFC South maybe has a back-to-back winner somewhere here and there. I haven't gone and bothered to check. But it really is uncanny. Just tells you, A, that's the nature of the NFL, right, where this happens. Teams go from third to first and first to last and everything in between. But with free agency and player movement and injuries, there, you know, weird stuff happens. But it also tells you there hasn't really been any consistency. out of it. Even though the Eagles, by the way, without a doubt, have been a really good organization. Last year, they fell all the way down as a, 11-win team still? It's pretty damn impressive. I'll take that down season an awful lot, but expectations were higher. They've been up, they've been down, they've been to a Super Bowl, they've been really good. They're a legit contender even right now. But it just tells you that nobody's really been the cream of the crop there. There's no Bills, there's no Patriots type dynasty, or there's no Kansas City, certainly. It's been, as you said, an up and down thing.
Yeah, the Chiefs just became the second team to ever win 9 straight divisions because they won the division title on Sunday Night Football on the old doink. But the Patriots, who I think won 11 straight, and the Chiefs that won 9 straight are the anti-NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be Philly. We should talk about the Eagles coming up in a little bit. There is, again, mounting turmoil in that locker room as the year goes on. I'm telling you, something is rotten in that organization. It's just not right. And now it sounds like A.J. Brown, their star wide receiver, who seems like a diva pain in the butt, and Jalen Hurts, their quarterback, who's struggling to see the field a little bit, are not seeing eye to eye. Have their defensive lineman, Brandon Graham, was out for the year, who will go down as an Eagles Hall of Famer, saying on a radio interview on our sister station, WIP, yesterday, that those two guys aren't friends and kind of accidentally suggesting they don't like each other at all, which has been assumed at different points, but nobody really knew definitively until last night.
Yeah.
So there's trouble in paradise, which is good for Washington.
Just fine by me.
Because it gives you a little glimmer of hope, maybe, that something could go sideways for the Eagles. They barely beat the Panthers. If Xavier Leggett, who almost made a diving catch, would have been his third catch of the game at the goal line on Sunday, could have hung on to a pass, Danny, maybe the Panthers beat the Eagles 23-22, and Washington is only 2 games back in the division, and they still play Philly. Instead, it's 3 games. Philly's in the clear. But Washington can erase the tiebreaker that currently goes toward the Eagles and even it back out with a win over Philly at home in a couple of weeks, which would be nice. And then maybe an Eagles collapse away from having a chance at the NFC East. So you can kind of cross your fingers. We saw it last year. They completely imploded. It happened a little earlier in the year. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, it's odd to say about a team that's won 9 straight. You know what I mean? That was 2-2, had an early bye week, and then has played some of the best football of anybody in the NFL. Not that long ago either. But I'm with you. There are cracks. There are little fissures in there, I would say, where, again, their schedule's been challenging, and they've done really, really well, right? Went out to L.A. Ask Buffalo how easy that is to go beat the Rams. They did that, beat L.A. soundly, beat Baltimore, and now all of a sudden, you're right, they probably should have lost that game to Carolina. This is an interesting one this week for them, by the way. They got the Steelers.
Yes, they do. Not the team you want to be playing defensively when you're struggling as a quarterback,
mm-hmm,
and as a team when you're trying to get right from a passing game standpoint. I got a couple of tweets coming in. I'm at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter and on Instagram. You can always DM me throughout the show or hit me up on Twitter there. Somebody's saying that I said 27-0 Bengals over the Cowboys and asking if it was a Freudian slip. I think a Freudian slip is when you... What is a Freudian slip? You say something wrong on accident that you would like?
Yeah, so it's basically the thing that you actually want or desire,
okay,
comes out, and you were supposed to say something else. Like this is a red thermos. Okay. I actually want a red thermos.
You want one.
Yeah.
So then this is the definition of a Freudian slip.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I watched the game. It was 27-20. If I said it was 27-0, it was not. But it would have been better had it have been.
Would have been more fun.
The Cowboys' offense was mediocre enough that it wasn't that different than that, even though they found a way to score 20 points. But I love watching me some Joe Burrow, man. Joe Burrow, 369 yards, 3 touchdowns. That's 4 straight weeks for Joe Burrow with 300 yards and 3 scores through the air.
He's
on
incredible.
This season, he's got 33 touchdowns and 6 interceptions.
So when I think of Joe Burrow, and not just the stupid entrances with his like hair or buying the Batmobile, but like the quarterback.
Hold on, before we go past that, because you just piqued my interest. Why does he have to do the stupid outfit thing?
I don't know.
It's the only hole in his game for me to keep him from being my favorite quarterback in the league, which is still Josh Allen. But he bought the Batmobile. Like, the guy is a dude. He is cool. I like everything about him. He's a have a beer with that guy. The hair dyeing thing, kind of quirky and strange. He's a little bit out there, whatever. It's the outfits, man. He does the NBA player wearing the long sweater dress thing. Like, why does he have to wear weird outfits?
I don't know.
Okay.
So I wish I had an answer for it. It'd be so easy just to not do it. I don't get it.
Back to you, Danny.
Yeah, so when I think of Joe Burrow, the quarterback, I think of he'll move around a little bit in the pocket. He'll manipulate, he'll slide and make smart plays and deliver the football on time. I don't know if this is new, but it feels like he's moving around better than he ever has. That's after a few different injuries, right? Like, whether I can't remember all the litany of them. I know the wrist was a major. Remember that, by the way? That, like, no one's ever experienced this thing with his arm. Is it going to be the same? He is. By the way, if they were winning at all, he'd be the MVP of the league. But they're not, so he won't be. But I don't remember him being this elusive, being that quick. Just, again, making plays and extending them for an offensive line that's struggling at times where they've got to throw a billion times a game because their defense is atrocious on ice. I don't remember him being that athletic, I guess is the point of it. And he is. That's kind of the new reality, is that guy moves around incredibly well. He's not going to beat Lamar Jackson or Jaden Daniels in a 40. That's not my point here. It's the escaping, the throwing on the run, the kind of like those second-level plays, some of those backbreaker things where you're going, dude, that is exceptional stuff that he's now doing routinely on his way to like 50 touchdowns for a team that's going to lose 12 games.
He's one of the best movers in the pocket of any quarterback in the league. It's the climbing to me toward the line of scrimmage to reset, to throw, that's so backbreaking, where he kind of is very decisive and sudden with it too. Like, he immediately notices you've won, and rather than waiting in the pocket to have it cave in on him, he kind of just bolts through and resets so that everyone now, the entire line and all of the defenders are behind him, and he's waiting at the line of scrimmage for someone to come free. But he's definitely a fun watch for sure. I'm sure you saw this yesterday. I know you were busy working, but the Commanders are going to play the New Orleans Saints without Derek Carr. And on top of that, the Commanders think they're going to have Marshawn Lattimore on the field. Chris Olave has not been available to the New Orleans Saints. They're pretty broken at wide receiver right now.
Yeah, they're beat up.
Have you seen their receiving depth chart? They're devoid of weapons for the most part. Marquez Valdez-Scantling has found something since getting to the Saints, which is good for him because he's bounced all over the place. He's had a couple of big games. But they're throwing to Cedric Wilson Jr., the former Dolphin, and a guy named Kevin Austin Jr. I don't know anything about him.
Don't know much about Kevin Austin.
I will apologize in advance.
Junior or senior.
But like, he's a starting receiver for them right now. And probably Jake Haener, maybe Spencer Rattler, are going to be throwing those guys the football. So it goes without saying, you kind of got to get this one, don't you? You're going on the road. I get it. You're playing in a dome, which is typically loud, but it's not going to be as loud as it normally is in December because the game for Saints fans just isn't that important, closing in on the holidays now. You might have a few Saints fans opting to do some Christmas shopping over going to watch a team that has already fired its head coach that is without its starting quarterback. But Danny, everything's kind of coming up Commanders here.
Yeah, I mean, the Shanahan axiom that you adopted, that you passed on to us, we've now adopted as a show, when you play him. You saw in weeks one and two, you might get 50 on you, right? With Olave healthy and Shaheed going over the top and Kamara going for 200 yards all-purpose and Taysom Hill being there as a weapon on goal lines and third and ones and tush-pushing and doing everything in between. They just don't have anything. Like, they don't have anybody left that's worth a damn. To your point, their best weapon right now is Marquez Valdez-Scantling. With all due respect, he's not a number one. He's just not number two, and he's probably a guy that you could have picked up at any point in time over the last handful of months to just be the third or fourth or fifth guy on your roster. They are so beat up, in such bad shape, cap-wise, health-wise, team-wise. Like, they need a full reboot, reset, restart. So this is the perfect time to play them. And, of course, it's all terrifying. If you're a Washington fan, nobody should be overconfident at all, given the number of times you're going, they can't lose to Tommy DeVito, when they do. They can't lose to name that backup quarterback or name that Cooper Rush or name that other guy that's terrible. And then they do. Hopefully this is different now, but on paper, there is no better time to play the New Orleans Saints than right now this minute.
So here's where I'm going to separate from, I think, a lot of Commanders fans. I acknowledge that they could lose the game. You can always lose a game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the NFL, man. It's in any given Sunday league. Of course, the Saints can beat them. But there is a big difference between that and acknowledging when you absolutely should win a game, which was what we did all week when they played the Dallas Cowboys, who, by the way, they lost to.
Mm-hmm.
The point remains. They should have beaten Dallas. There was no good reason for them not to beat Dallas. It was unacceptable to lose that football game. With the one caveat being, and this was something Dan Quinn really harped on and went hard in the paint on, division games are weird. Not a great analytical argument,
yeah,
but it's a thing. You play in the division, you play a rival, quirky things happen, It's not quite the same. This is not the division, right? This is not the familiar foe. This is not your brother you got the rivalry with in the NFC East. There's just no reason for them not to go out and just take advantage of an opportunity.
Yeah, quite frankly, they should sandblast this team. I mean, they should be start to finish better than them in every aspect, foot on the throat, dominate them.
The but Saints are terrible defensively.
Yeah.
And they can't stop the run. Like, it is a bad matchup for New Orleans, even if they're healthy, trying to beat Washington. So, yeah, I mean, it should be a 9-5 record going into the final 3 weeks of the season at that point. Mm-hmm. And you're in a really, really good spot if you can pull that off. You know what else is this week? And I don't hear anybody talking about this. Maybe that just means I'm not paying enough attention to the right places. Chase Young week. Lest we forget.
Oh, yeah.
Why is nobody talking about this? Everyone's forgotten about old Chase. Hashtag revenge game.
Wow.
So just in time for Washington. Do you know what he did this past week?
He had a nice game, actually, last week, didn't he?
He had no sacks because he never had sacks.
Oh.
But he got 10 pressures, which, shtick aside, is super impressive. He had 36 plays where he rushed the quarterback this past week. They played the New York Giants. Drew Lock held on to the ball, not particularly good, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But on 36 rushes, Chase Young got pressure 10 times, 28% of the time, which was tied for his best game ever in terms of pressures of the quarterback. On the season, he ranks fourth in the NFL with 61 pressures entering week 14. Now, he does not finish. It's just not his thing. Sacks, for whatever reason, and Chase Young are not friends. But this year, he gets a lot of pressures. He pushes his man with strength kind of into the face of the quarterback. He gets around the QB. He's been pretty relentless, and he's played okay. And I just want to acknowledge going into this game in New Orleans that is quite a storyline. That Chase Young has a chance to make a big play against the Commanders in a game they've got to have.
So to your point, you're right. Nobody's talking. I didn't even think of it until you mentioned it. I was like, where's he going right now? Like, is there some other sport I should be paying attention to? Like the National Junior Hockey Championships, USA plays Canada. I had no idea what you were
like,
going to say.
Marshawn Lattimore is going to be the headline.
Yeah.
Right? That Lattimore is going back to New Orleans. To me, Chase Young against the team that drafted him number two, that correctly didn't give him a fifth-year option, which does not happen when you get picked that high, that traded him in the final year of his contract. Mm-hmm. That's a way more interesting story.
Yeah, for not that much.
That he's playing against that team than that Marshawn Lattimore, a corner who fell out of favor with New Orleans and vice versa, you know, is basically coming back from injury against the Saints.
So it's easy to crack jokes. And by the way, I'm going to, just as an FYI, 3.5 sacks. That's not very much in 13 games. However, to your point, though, 19 quarterback hits to kind of go along with those pressures, he actually is pass rushing decently well.
He's having a good season.
He's got 7 more quarterback hits, for example, than anybody on Washington at this point. So with guys with much more gaudy sack totals with Luvu and others. So he's not a total zilch.
In fairness to those guys, and I shouldn't argue about one tree in the forest here, but I mean they're completely different jobs than Chase Young.
Oh no!
Like, yeah, they're more not responsibility every yeah. single down.
Totally.
So the comp would be like Dante Fowler as an example,
mm-hmm.
just as an aside.
Yeah.
But to your point, let's comp him to Montez Sweat, who has 4.5 sacks this year. By the way, I mean, come on, guys.
Is that it really?
Yeah.
For Sweat,
tackles for loss, he's got 7. He has 9 quarterback hits. What does Chase Young have?
19.
I mean, Chase Young's having a year, dude. Good for him. Now he can't sack the quarterback.
Mm.
I don't know why.
Is he getting one this weekend? You feel like he gets one?
I think this has a half sack written all over it. I think he gets...
Like, is it a Stubblefield half sack where he puts that, touches him and puts his hand up?
It's like a Jaden Daniels drops back, tries to scramble, runs out of bound, like, you know, gets tackled, I'll say, a yard from the line of scrimmage by 2 guys at once, and Chase Young's one of them. And then he'll get up, and you will know it. Because he's going to make a big deal about it. That half sack he's going to get for the loss of 1 yard. That's my prediction. We should do that later in the week. Maybe on Friday from Nollins. Predict Chase Young's stat line. But yeah, it's the Chase Young game.
It's the Chase weekend. Young game, dude.
Saw something on TV on Sunday night that I found annoying and hypocritical. Let's get to that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
for Tamba Ali. 12 years with the Chiefs, second in franchise history in sacks, going into the Ring of Honor and banging the drum to get us going tonight.
Nothing to see here. Just 70,000 people doing the tomahawk chop. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. That was nationally televised Sunday Night Football. Tirico on the call. The drum gets banged. I believe they play something in the stadium, although I'm not really sure. Do you know that, Danny?
I don't.
In Atlanta or in Kansas City, do they play some type of...
So in Atlanta, they used to with the organ, like the... Dun, 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 like
correct.
Whatever Florida State does. Yeah.
Is there an instrumental that accompanies it, or is that just 70,000 people making the noise? And if they all stopped, it's a cappella and nothing would be audibly happening. Is it just the drum that... Because the drum is pretty clearly...
A call to action.
Telling you, hey guys, let's do the thing where mm-hmm. we all put our hands forward like a tomahawk chop and do our battle cry. And I'm just sitting here at my house... where I've got Commander stuff on the wall because the team's no longer named the Redskins and the logo and the emblem are gone. And I'm not sitting here advocating, by the way, for a path back to Redskins and or the old logo. I'm fine. I don't like the name Commanders, but I understand how we got here. The hypocrisy will never not annoy me, though. I think that's all I want. You know, sometimes I think...
This is what I want at all times for everything,
like, I complain about something and my wife will say, like, so what do you want? And I'm like, I just want you to say, you're right, that this is stupid, that the fact that we're going to four stores for grocery shopping in 1 week is stupid, or, you know, whatever it is, right? And she's like, I don't understand why you're so... I just want someone to say, this is pretty dumb. I think I just want someone to go, Grant, you're right, this is hypocritical and ridiculous. That the Chiefs, named the Chiefs, can do the tomahawk chop, and nobody cares. In fact, they televise it nationally on NBC. The NFL celebrates it as like cool environment thing. When you're in the Viking stadium, somebody goes, and everyone does the skull, right? We're doing this bit right before the game. Who's it going to be this week? Someone from Minnesota. Oh, look, it's the guy who built Mall of America. We're all doing it. At the Chiefs game, somebody bangs the drum, and we all go, oh, and it's this awesome look at Arrowhead Stadium. Arrowhead Stadium, by the way. Mm-hmm. I guess it's Geehaw Field now or whatever. Right. Chiefs, can someone just acknowledge hypocritical, and then I'll move on.
So here we go. put the waders on and my goggles and scuba gear, and let's get into this. I'm sure it'll piss people off, but whatever. I'm an adult. Hopefully you guys are too. I am just so out of step with society on almost everything these days, and I know part of that's just being old, and I know that's what happens to you, and you shake your fist, you're like, I don't know who anyone is, and I don't know what they're singing about. Like, whatever. I understand that. I know how I sound. But
Who is Charlie XCX?
Why? What are they? Is that a band?
Is this Dave Chappelle Roan?
Does he have a my face? All right, listen. The thing I can't do that everybody does, everyone does, people get more upset at mean words than mean deeds. Wrong. You're all wrong. Crimes are worse than mean words. Sorry, they just are. Actual acts of crime are worse than someone that didn't say the right thing. Sorry. I'll never get there with you guys. People get more outraged about the mean words than they do about the mean thing. The mean thing is so bad. We got laws on the books. We got jail time for it. We don't have jail time because you said something stupid on Twitter. Anyway, this goes to that to me. I understand. Again, whether I agree or not is irrelevant to me. I understand, to your point, how we got here with Washington's team name. I get it. Whether I'm mad about it, happy about it, sad about it, I'm not just going to sit there and hold my breath until I turn purple and pass around petitions. I'm not doing any of that. I get it. I moved on to the next thing. The thing that I can't stand is, to your point, the hypocrisy of it. I will never, ever, 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 as long as I live and breathe on this planet, understand how that thing, the tomahawk chop, isn't more reductive and worse than anything that anybody else was doing at any other time. You'll never get me. You never convince me. There's nothing you can say or do. Written proof, something notarized. You can get 1,000 witnesses. I'll need 50,000 more. You give me 50,000, I'll need 1 billion. And from then on, I'll be on my deathbed going, the tomahawk chop is worse. And then I'll expire. Flatline. What were his last words? The tomahawk chop is worse. It's hypocritical. Dead. I will never understand. Now, there are columns written. There are a few people that say their piece every year in the local paper, or there are a few folks out there here and there who object to it as well. But to your point, there was an embracing at the league level from broadcasters, the Bob Costases sitting you down and lecturing you about what's good and what's bad, all the highest levels, to basically move on from Washington's old name. Okay, at a league level, that's what happened. It hasn't happened here, and there's not a beep. You got your detector out, your radar detector, looking for it, and it isn't there, and I don't get it.
And this is where people will disagree with me to an extent. I acknowledge that the name Redskins, while it was not the way that you knew it and I knew it and every person listening knew it and what it meant to us and what it means still to this day to so many of us, is not a racial term. I acknowledge that the name Redskins, for the people that wanted it changed and at the league office where they said we've got to move on, is a worse name, is a more divisive name, is a pejorative more so than Braves or Chiefs or even Indians, which has been changed to Guardians. I acknowledge that, okay? I will, and I will stand by that. I just need everyone to acknowledge that there's a big difference even between, hey, man, the fans are going to do the chop thing. We can't stop them. Just like fans still sing Hail to the Redskins after the team scores.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get you to sing Hail to the Commanders. You can't make my fat ass do it.
Yeah, I'm not fighting for the Commanders, guys. Sorry, I ain't doing it.
If I am paying to go to the game, and I'm not saying me personally, but just in this hypothetical, and I'm sitting there, what, someone's going to come sit next to me and go, hey, I heard that. I heard what you said. You have to say the Commanders. You can't make someone stop singing Hail to the Redskins. You can't make Chiefs fans stop doing the, but you know what you could do? You could not do the drum beating at the beginning if it was really that important to stop doing it.
Because it's not important at all.
It's not important.
And that's the deal.
NBC doesn't have to show it. I mean, there is just a polar opposite view of how they viewed Washington's organization and the Chiefs. So just acknowledge to me that the three Super Bowls are one of the big differences. You know what I mean? Acknowledge to me that you don't mind Clark Hunt. That you don't hate the Hunt family as much as you hated Dan Snyder.
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledge
And I hate
to
Dan
me,
Snyder too, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, we got that in common.
I don't like that guy.
We got that in common.
We're friends.
Acknowledge to me
mm-hmm.
that if Washington had won the recent Super Bowls and Patrick Mahomes was the poster child of the league as a player with the Redskins and the Hunt family owned this organization, that they'd probably still be named the same thing. Or that the Chiefs, in this hypothetical, would still be named the Redskins, even if the situations were completely reversed. Let's just call it what it is. But I guess I don't have much more to say other than I'm sitting in my basement on Sunday. Sunday Night Football comes on. It's the start of the game, and 70,000 people are doing the thing. And I just look around with my hands in the air. I'm like Seinfeld, the last guy in the apartment kind of thing. And I'm like, I can't be the only one.
And your kids are there like, what are you talking about, Dad?
Who finds this so outrageous? It can't just be me that every time I see this goes, I got nothing left. But this is just okay for the rest
fine.
Of time.
And again, I
get out of here.
And I'm also at the risk of my own hypocrisy. I am not lecturing anybody. I want to make sure I'm very clear on that. I'm not telling anybody to start something, stop something, or any kind of behavior. Do what you want. It's your fandom. The point that I'm trying to make here is it's celebrated. That's the difference to me. To your point, if no one's banging any drum and NBC tunes in for kickoff and they're doing it at kickoff and you got to televise the kickoff, your hands are tied.
But
what are you going to do?
The Redskins, this is a little heavy-handed, but it would be something along the lines of, welcome into Landover, Maryland, where they're currently doing that despicable tomahawk chop. Now for the kickoff. Like, that was the tone about everything Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Right.
At
and
the end.
The fact that it's not condemned to the same degree.
To any degree.
There's a Venn diagram. Some of the same people that like crusaded against Washington's name are probably writing their same columns. And the pulse is out there. You can find that if you want to look for it. But it's not the groundswell. It's not the people that are secondhand going, you know what? This is offensive. Without necessarily evidence to one degree or the other. They're just sort of declaring something because maybe they believe it. Maybe they read something that convinced them. I have no idea. But what I want is the same energy, as you young people say. Give me the same energy for something that I have always believed is worse. I think it's worse. But again, I'm not telling Chiefs fans to do it, not do it, anything in between. I don't care if they do it or not. My point is, it's not only not condemned by some of the same folks that condemned my thing, but it's celebrated. That's the difference to me.
It's celebrated.
It's the, as Dave Chappelle said, it's a celebration, bitches. It's the celebration that I can't abide.
Yeah, and it's not just the Chiefs, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's the obvious one because it's the same sport.
Sure.
It's pretty easy, right? Same owners' meetings.
Mm-hmm.
The name Chiefs, right? That they've got the, you know, basically an arrowhead right there in the logo. Now they've stopped doing the headdress stuff just like the Redskins did many, many, many years ago. So that we got that going for us, I suppose. But the Braves are doing the same thing. Somebody said the Indians have changed their name as well. I'd have to do more digging. I thought that was always kind of their choice, essentially. I understand they got a lot of pushback and a lot of heat, but I don't think it was to the same extent. The Redskins had to change their name because in the end, really what took place was the same people that forced Dan to sell, so they're heroes in the story in the end, the minority owners that he was in that fight with, remember?
Mm-hmm.
The way I've understood it is basically motivated all the sponsors to essentially threaten that if they didn't change the name, that they would no longer do business with them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they weren't going to be able to sell their jerseys in team stores.
Yeah, they were taken out of team stores
the
all over the place.
Website.
Yeah.
And on, at the time, it might have been Nike or Adidas or whatever. They weren't going to be available. And so, quite literally, there was that pushback. I don't think that ever happened for the Cleveland Indians. I think they just kind of decided, we don't need whatever's coming down the pike. We see the writing on the wall here. We're going to make the change. I do think it is different. But the Braves, there's been no talk, right? And again, different thing, right? That's a more positive word than certainly Redskins is in terms of connotation. I'm not saying it's one-to-one, but they do the chop. There's just a hypocrisy. Like, you're either part of the protected team group on this, or you're the one that everyone hated and thought was the worst, which happened to be this one. But I just wonder how people feel when they watch that. Or are you completely understanding and you go, oh, it's completely different. We should have changed everything, and they shouldn't have to do anything. 800-636-1067 if you want to join us. G&D on the Fan. Sunday, ahead of Sunday Night Football, in Kansas City at Arrowhead Stadium, Tom Bahali led the stadium by beating a drum, and they all did the tomahawk chop. Seems hypocritical in a league where Redskins was done away with, right? And I'm just asking, can we acknowledge there's some hypocrisy, that's hypocritical? Trying to get your feelings on it, I saw there was a lot of fervor on my timeline from some fans watching that game on Sunday. You can chime in at 800-636-1067. Danny, I actually believe if you go back, you will see, before the changing of the name, that in the end, my point was, change the name. I just thought that there was too much water under the bridge, that it was not worth continuing the fight. I did not think that there would be as much damage done, frankly, irreparable damage to the brand, that the ceiling of the organization would lower in a way that you could never raise again to the same level when you change the name. That's the part I was wrong about. But I do think the term Redskins, even though it's not what it meant to me, is worse than the term Chiefs or the term Braves. And I understand how we got here. I do. I just want someone to also admit that this was a Dan Snyder thing, largely. That this was this organization's irrelevant and an owner is hated by all the other owners, and we're trying to get him out of the league thing. And if we could just admit that, then I'll feel a lot better about it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, all the different arguments and things that I heard, like everyone else did, and read and listened to over the years, every one of them applies like plus or like times 1.5 to the reductive act of the tomahawk chop. See what I'm saying? Like, to me, that's the part I care about more than anything else. It's like, you want to tell me my thing's offensive? All right, fine. I can listen to you. I want to have a great conversation. But we could start there, right? That's where we should all start. Everyone should go there and start with that first, right? not only is it the people doing it, as you said, you can't stop people from doing it. It's the encouragement and the celebrating of it when, you know, when here in Washington, our thing was condemned. I get that. I don't get that. I don't get the fact that it's not only is it fine, it's just, here we go. They're doing it, guys. Tune in. Check it out. Listen to the great atmosphere. No.
If you have been pulled over and you're sitting there on the side of the road and cars are screaming past you going faster than you ever were, it kind of feels like I'm saying to the cop, what about them?
Yeah. You were going 65 and a 55. That dude was going 100.
Right.
Right?
Well, let's say he was going 60 in the speed limit was 45, right? Doesn't matter. My point is it's not even like I'm still here and you can't go pull them over because you're dealing with me. You gave me a ticket, and I'm just watching you sit there drinking your coffee mm-hmm. and everyone flying past you, and you don't seem to care about anybody else. So would you just tell me what was different about me? That's what I want to
know. I didn't
like
your bumper sticker.
What was different about me, and why don't you care about them? Scott in Silver Spring. Hey, Scotty.
Hello, Scott.
Hey, fellas. What's up?
Hey, man.
I can tell you what's different about you, your owner. I mean, that's just my opinion. I mean, I think if we had different ownership, there wouldn't have been the push by corporate entities that there was. And for sure, our current ownership would have sat down with the concerned group, and maybe something would have been worked out, similar to what I believe Florida State does with Seminole Nation's annual, like, contribution to whatever. But I definitely think it would have went totally different. Maybe the name would have been changed ultimately, but it wouldn't have went the way it did go.
Florida State's a whole nother beast, I would say. Although, again, I would be willing to tell you that Redskins is worse than Seminoles, just as words.
Well, because it's after specific tribe, and they actually have agreements with them.
Yeah.
They've sat down, there's accords.
Yeah,
I mean, just to double down on that, it's an important distinction.
Yeah, so they have that relationship. But, I mean, you do quite literally have, like, in Washington, correctly, people stopped doing the headdress and the whole giddy-up and Chief Z, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in Florida State, dude's coming out on a horse still, isn't he? And, like, throwing the javelin. I mean, it is a very different thing. Let's go to Hal in Kensington on Grant and Danny. What's up, Hal?
Hey, guys. I was going to start by disagreeing with you, and I do to a degree, but I think you make a fair point. I think some of this was driven by true animus, understandable animus towards Snyder. So I grant you that. Let me ask you this.
If Clark Hunt...
I mean, I'm all right with that.
If Clark Hunt was the owner of this football team, would they still be named the Redskins or no?
I think it's different also. I agree with you there. That name is more... That's a slur. I mean, that is a true slur. I don't think Chiefs or... I'm really glad. I think all of it should go. I'll be clear. I think they should all go. And I was really glad, although Seminoles is different. I think that's a different kettle of fish. But the other names should go. I think it was great that Cleveland is now the Guardians in baseball. I love that name. It's local. I'm totally big on that. I also think you can change your name and you can improve your brand. The team here's brand has been in the toilet because they stink. And
that the name change has been detrimental to the organization?
Well, it was a bad name. I think if they had chosen, I was for Red Wolves, you can come up with something else. I think a good name and you come up with a cool logo and no. So it was a bad change.
So you think changing to Commanders was the problem, not changing the name?
So there was some, and respectfully disagree there. Like, we always have to fill these columns up or the different pies, whatever, however you want to call it. But there are some that as soon as it stopped being Redskins said, I'm out forever. Doesn't matter if it was the best name in the history of names, they were never going to come back. And I think you need to acknowledge that. Doesn't mean that was everybody, but I think there is still a portion that was so damaging, and I underestimated that. I think you and I both did.
Quinn, Rockville, you're on the Fan. What's up?
Hey, David Granny, how are you on I'm Not As Big a Racist As You Are Day?
Day.
Day.
Bob.
Day.
Who was that last guy?
Day.
If you do away with the Redskins, the Chiefs, the Indians, the Seminoles, if you do away with all those names, that is my biggest contention. 10, 20, 30 years from now, people will forget there were ever Native Americans in this country. And the fact is, the tomahawk chop and the chant is so offensive. It was the first game of the season, and they spent 2 minutes with that stuff going on in the background, and I just kept thinking to myself, do they realize the hypocrisy here? And people used to ask the questions, well, what if the Redskins were called the Blackskins? Well, they're not called the Blackskins. They're called the Redskins, and it's hail to the Redskins, not hate to the Redskins. This is reverence. It's a joy. It's a thing. It's not a bad thing.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, that tips into now re-legislating the name change, yeah, and that's not kind of the point
really
of this.
That's not really the goal of this. There are people that will disagree. There are a lot of people that agree with you. There are plenty that will disagree. I don't think the previous caller, it seems like you took umbrage with his points. You guys are on different ends of the spectrum, and you're both welcome to the conversation. The reason I bring this up is a thing happened. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to undo the thing that happened.
The bell's been rung.
Yes. They decided, the league and everyone with power said, you can't be this anymore, and you can't look with your logo like this anymore. Fine. Check. We're what you want us to be now. You don't care about this? That this is just cool? We're just going to keep doing that for how long? Oh, forever. Okay.
Oh, you're doing it more. Oh, you're doing it harder than you did before. Great.
Seems strange.
Yeah.
We'll ask Barry Sferluga of the Washington Post about this, but there's a lot of other D.C. sports content to get to with him. We'll give a little State of the Union. Capitals are the best team in hockey. We've got the Nats in the winter meetings who aren't spending money just yet. Will they this offseason? And the Commanders are trying to make a playoff push. You're listening to The Fan.